Well, over the past few weeks, we've been following the life of Jacob in our Old Testament lessons. We haven't really talked about it much. Certainly haven't preached about Jacob, but that's all going to change today. And it's because I like this story, even though I'm not entirely sure why. Because this story's got all kinds of weird things in it, which isn't, you know, unheard of in the Old Testament. But this one, it's just kind of odd. And so we have Jacob, he's on his way back to home. He's a little concerned because Esau's there, and as you may recall, he and Esau did not exactly leave on good terms, because Jacob never left anywhere on good terms with anyone. So that's certainly not new. But anyway, he's on his way back, and he gets to the river Jabbok, or Jabbok, however you want to pronounce it. I have no idea. You did a great job, guy. That's the best way I've heard it pronounced. I'm going to steal it. So Jacob sends everybody across the river, and he's going to wait. And as he's waiting, a man appears out of nowhere, as it were, and wrestles with him till daybreak. Now, we're looking at this story from the other end, and we're looking for where it ends up, and we know how it happens, and we know lots of stuff about Jacob and Israel and all these things. Have you ever thought how odd that must be? There you are by your campfire or whatever you've got, and some guy comes up out of nowhere and starts wrestling with you. Wrestling is a really interesting way of conflict. Like, I was thinking about it. I didn't do much wrestling. I did a little bit of sort of the Olympic-style wrestling in phys ed class when I was in grade school. But wrestling is an odd kind of physical conflict, because if you're in a fist fight with somebody, or, I don't know, go back a couple hundred years, and you're in a sword fight with somebody, you can always run away. But you can't run away when you're wrestling with somebody, because they've got a hold of you already. So it's just an odd kind of thing right from the very beginning. And so they wrestle till daybreak. Now, even if that's the shortest night of the year, and they're so close to the equator, it really doesn't make any difference what time of year it is. That's a long time to wrestle. I can remember getting in physical conflict of one kind or another, I suppose you'd call it wrestling, with my brothers, and it didn't take very long to be absolutely exhausting. This is all night. And then the man, whoever he is, saw that he could not overpower Jacob, so he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled. Basically, he puts his hip out of joint, which is the hardest joint, so I've been led to believe, to knock out of alignment, because it's really well protected in there. That's why hips are important. And then the man says, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." Okay, you came out, you started wrestling me, now you want to go. Jacob says, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So obviously Jacob, at some point, possibly from the very beginning, I mean, Jacob, say what you like about him, was obviously spiritually aware, even spiritually acute, and knew something was going on at some point, and said, okay, there's something happening. This is not just some miscellaneous maniac who's come to wrestle me in the middle of the night. You need to bless me. And the man asks him this weird question, "What's your name?" He says, "Well, it's Jacob." He says, "No, it's not. You're now going to be called Israel, which means struggles with God, because you struggled with God, you struggled with people everywhere, but you've overcome." Jacob says, "Tell me your name." The person says, "What do you need my name for?" Blesses him. And then, we don't know what, disappears, walks away, we're not sure. What a peculiar story. And why is it there? Well, I think it's there for a couple of reasons, not least of which is it pushes us to pay attention to what does it mean to be blessed. Was Jacob blessed? I mean, you've been around, for those of you who've been around here long enough and who don't have limps yourself, you've certainly seen that I have one. It comes every 2 or 3 years. I go see a doctor, I get it fixed, whatever, it happens. Limps aren't fun. Limps are annoying. They slow you down, they get in the way, they're painful. How does that connect with a blessing in any meaningful way? Because he didn't say, "I would like you to make sure I never walk normally again, but give me a blessing at the same time." He just asked for the blessing. And I sometimes wonder, did Jacob hope the blessing would be fixing his hip right then? Because the guy knocked it out of joint, apparently by touching it, not some strange wrestling move. So he ended up with a limp, whether he wanted it or not. He was stuck with it, and this notion has hit me off and on. I may have even talked about it here before, that maybe the limp was actually part of the blessing. And you think, why on earth would a limp be part of a blessing? It just doesn't make any sense. Well, one of the ways that it may make sense is just part of the fundamental human nature, or a part of that fundamental part of what makes us who we are. And there's something about people that makes it really easy to forget good things and really hard to forget bad things. We're all like this. How many of you have something that happened in grade school, it's reasonably trivial, but it was embarrassing or it was painful, that you still remember? You remember what you were wearing, you remember what people said. It comes out of nowhere and you suddenly go, okay, I can remember that. I can't remember where I put my keys, but I remember that. What's going on? You remember when somebody, you know, called you names. You remember when somebody got a promotion you were expecting to get. You remember all of these things. And yet, have you ever noticed when you're at somebody's anniversary celebration, if they're renewing their vows or something like that, they frequently say things along the lines of, you know, I sometimes forget how important this person is to me. How is that even possible? Well, we don't know how, but we know what it is. It's possible. That's one of the reasons why we wear rings, so we remember we're married. Okay, that's not really why we wear rings, but it seemed like a good thing in there. We find it easy to let the important things in our life slip our minds. I sometimes wonder if for Jacob, every time he took a step and had that limp, if it was a reminder to him about that night that not just that he wrestled with God, but that God blessed him. It is so easy for us to forget our blessings. We live in a country, in a culture that is the envy of most of the world. Hang around a shopping center, go to a coffee shop, and listen to people talk. We have an endless array of things to complain about. And it's not that they're not real. I'm not saying people make things up. But we focus on those things, forgetting the blessings that we have. Because that's part of being human. We need to be reminded. Well, maybe that reminder for Jacob was that limp. And maybe something else comes out of that. There's a statement you run across off and on about how the best healers are wounded healers. We want people who have some understanding of who we are and what might have happened to us before we're going to take anything from them. I wonder if for Jacob this was the thing that finally had him stop. You remember the story of Jacob. This is somebody who took advantage of everybody he possibly could. This is someone who took advantage of his brother, of his uncle, so family didn't make any difference. We don't know every bit of his story, but it seems pretty likely that that's just the way he was everywhere. And the thing that makes it so strange is that right from the moment he was born, it was obvious that God was going to bless him. Prophecy was given that of these two children, the older would serve the younger. That doesn't happen. This turned this whole idea of the primacy of the firstborn on its head, and everybody knew it, including Jacob. And yet, instead of depending on God to make good what God had said God would do, he manipulated people, he lied, he stole things, all of this stuff. And I wonder if maybe another part of this limp was a reminder to Jacob. It's possible, and you'll see this every once in a while, it's possible for someone to take something that you are giving them with such violence that they hurt themselves on it. You give a toddler a toy, and if there are other toddlers in the room, there's a good chance they're going to grab it. You're not holding it away from them. They don't have to wrestle it from you, but they grab it with such vigor that they actually hurt themselves. That was Jacob. His entire life, he was snatching things from the open hand of God and hurting himself when he did it. He destroyed his relationship with his brother, caused all kinds of difficulties between his parents. Who knows what happened between him and Laban for the rest of their lives? He just left this trail of human wreckage behind him to get what was going to be given to him anyway. And maybe that limp was a reminder of that also. That he had to fight for a blessing. He didn't pick that fight, at least we don't think so. We don't know everything that's going on in there. But getting a blessing as an outcome of wrestling just seems weird. But it sums up Jacob, doesn't it? Somebody was so concerned that he got whatever he thought he deserved, that he was willing to do anything for it. But eventually he got that blessing. And I wonder if we could ask Jacob if, in his later life, if he would be willing to trade that blessing for the removal of that limp. And I don't think he would. Sometimes a fallen world means we're blessed in spite of the fallenness. I don't have a limp that reminds me of God's blessing. But I have other things in my life, and you might too. And we've talked about this sort of thing often, that when you look back at those critical times in your life when you made these huge steps forward in your relationship with God or with other people, look back at those, and I'm sure some of them came out of wonderful experiences, but how many of them came out of painful times? How many times were you driven to depend on God because of loss? And you say, this is where I am now, and I don't want to be anywhere else, but I sure wish I could have got here a different route. But I'm not willing to give up what I have if it means I don't have to go through what I went through. This Friday, it was 23 years since we had the memorial service for my first daughter. 23 years. It seems like forever, it seems like a moment. I would never have chosen that. No one I know would have chosen that for me. And I'm still not convinced I'm over it. I don't think I ever will be. But that changed who I was in ways that I would never trade for anything. Well, those are tough days. Those are days and days of darkness. There's no other word for it. And the fact that I survived it all is just another sign of God's grace and his goodness to me, even in the midst of something as terrible as that. But I came out of that someone who didn't have that simplistic answer that, oh, God will work it out. That, oh, this happened for a reason. Or any of those things that people, well-meaning people, said to me that were anything but helpful. I came out of that experience with a deeper understanding of how precious life is, of how important it is to be kind to the people around you. I came out of that with a deeper understanding that when God says he's going to be with me no matter what, it means he'll be with me no matter what. I was changed for the better through arguably the worst experience of my life. That's not a limp, but it pops up fairly often. Would I trade that for that not happening? I honestly don't think I would. God brought things out of that experience that I never would have predicted. Some of which I couldn't even imagine, all of which I wanted, and that was how I got them. All of us have these things in our past that we would never have chosen, that God has worked through those things and turned us into the people we are today. Not perfect by any means, not without miles to go to become more and more who I want to be and who God created me to be. But I'm further along because of those things, and so are you. So was Jacob. We don't know everything about God and how God works and why we have a fallen world at all and all of those kinds of questions. Those aren't settled for us. But some things are. And some of those things are that God brings blessing in the midst of horrible things. Not always, but when He does, the blessing is as real as anything. And for some of us, it's wrestling some stranger till daybreak. For others, it's losing a job, losing a loved one, watching some of our dreams be gone forever. Nothing we would ever choose. But God is there saying, I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to change everything about you, even in the midst of this. I wish I had easier answers for us. I wish I had easier answers for me. But I look at Scripture and I don't see a lot of easy answers. For some questions, I don't see answers at all. But what I do see over and over and over again, from the Old Testament to the New, from everything I read in church history, from my discussions with people like you, with my own life, what I see over and over and over again is God taking things that we would never choose, things that no one would think is a good thing, and turning it into value. God takes the dross of our lives and turns it into gold. It would be nice if it was easier. It would be nice if we didn't have to wrestle for blessings like Jacob thought he would. But isn't it nice that the blessings still come? And I don't want to trivialize whatever you're going through right now, whether it's important or not, whether it's big or not, or whether you're going through anything or not. But what I want us to do is to think back. If thinking about what you're going through now is too painful, if it is, then think back to those incredibly painful things that you went through, that you say, that's when I learned this. That's when I became this kind of person. For me, that's when I became less of a jerk to people in pain. Would I choose that? No. Has it been worth it? Even then, I'm not sure. But I'm glad the change happened. And yes, I wish it would have happened a different way. But I'm glad for the change. Jacob had a limp for the rest of his life. But he knew that he'd been blessed. And I think he finally got it. That God had been meaning to bless him the whole time. And that all he did was get in the way when he tried to make it happen faster. And every time he took a step, he was reminded again that he wasn't crippled. He was blessed. Amen.